Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God's glory is easy to lose sight of. All it takes is one small sin. In Moses' day, the glory of God would come and go. In the end, it departed, as Israel's sins caused God to draw back his favor. Could this be true even today? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. We're learning about God's glory in our worship by analyzing a vision of the prophet Ezekiel.
Ezekiel has a vision of the temple in Jerusalem that was built by Solomon and was destroyed by the Babylonians. In chapter 9, he sees the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the shining glory. He sees it go to the threshold of the building. Chapter 10, he sees it on the wall, the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And then the next chapter, 11, he sees it at the Mount of Olives, and it disappears. The glory of God left Israel. When they came back, they built the temple under Zerubbabel, you remember. But did you know that the glory never returned? The glory never returned. It did in Solomon's temple, but not in Zerubbabel's. Did that stop them from having meetings? No, and there may have been some really good believers among them, but there are plenty of churches that continue their ritual, even if the glory departs. See, that's what Jesus was referring to in the Gospels, where he said to the Pharisees, "You honor me with your lips, you've got the ritual down, but your heart is far from me." And so the glory of God departs, and his presence departs because of sin. How is this glory restored? How do we pursue the glory of God? For this last passage, I'll ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Now, in the 40th chapter, you have this summary of all the things that Moses did and the building of the tabernacle. And for example, we find in verse 29, a reference to the burnt altar, the big altar where the sacrifices were made. In verse 30, you have a reference to the basin. When you came into the tabernacle area, you were there at the altar, and that represents to us Jesus Christ and receiving him as Savior. But that wasn't enough for the priest to enter into the Holy of Holies. He had to wash himself too. Let's talk about you today. You who are listening, which I hope is all of you. If you didn't wash yourself through confession of sins and make yourself pure before you came to church this morning, you'll not sense the presence of God. No, no, no. I remember a man telling me, he said that Sunday morning, he said, I was singing all these hymns and I had in my mind all the images of the movie that I saw Saturday night. Where's God in that? You can't say, well, you know, I'm saved, therefore I can walk into church unprepared and worship. No, you can't. You can't. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they had to go to that altar, but then they had to go to the laver, and then after the laver, they were able to go into the holy place, and then the high priest into the very holy of holies. You see, that's the way the glory is restored. The glory is restored by biblically taking care of sin, because sin always causes the withdrawal of the glory of God among his people and the presence of God. That's why sometimes you can go to church services where they sing all the right things, you listen to all the right things, but there's just no God there. Now, look at what happened when the glory was restored and they took care of the sin question. Chapter 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the people of Israel was set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The glory of God, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God was among them. And where was it localized? I mean, where was the real localized was in what we call the Holy of Holies. You have in your mind, I'm sure, a picture of the tabernacle. You have the holy place that had three different articles of furniture. And then after you are in the holy place, only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and it was a cube. It was a room that was a cube, same distance for length and breadth and so forth. Let me ask you something. Where else in all the Bible do you have a cube? The only other place is the New Jerusalem. And the statistics of the cube are given to us. And isn't it interesting that when the New Jerusalem comes from God out of heaven, there is a voice that says these words, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." You have the very same reference to in Exodus and Leviticus, the dwelling of God, but at last without having to worry about sin. Face to face with God. And that's why it says regarding the New Jerusalem, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it." Why? Because the whole New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies. We dwell in God's presence forever. Bless his holy name. What are we going to be doing throughout all of eternity? Many assignments given, but the thrilling thing about it all is that it is the dwelling place of God. God finally gets to dwell with his people without the need for mediation. Now, where does all this leave us, and why should our lives be changed, and what does this have to do with tomorrow, bills that can't be paid and jobs that are threatening to be extinct? Let me give you the bottom line. The bottom line. First of all, number one, only the glory of God really matters. Only it really matters. Nothing else really matters. The issue in your life and mine is not whether or not life is easy. The issue is not whether or not we get the advancement that we think that we deserve, or whether or not we get the partner that we think we deserve. And when we do, we take comfort in the fact that things could be worse. The real issue is more fundamental than that, and that is, what does God want me to do, and how do I glorify him in this situation? It's an entirely different question. Let me ask you something. Let's suppose that God says, okay, you can go to heaven. Heaven will have everything that you want to eat. It'll have various things that you can do. Enough games and projects to keep you from being bored, and that's what heaven is going to be like. Would you say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good to me? No. Imagine heaven without the presence of God. It wouldn't be heaven if God gave us that. I remind you of the words of Moses. "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, then do not take us up from here." And I might say that it is indeed better to live in poverty with the presence of God than to dwell with riches without his presence, getting them dishonestly so that you lose favor with God and you don't sense his presence. Nothing else really matters. Doesn't matter whether or not you get all your prayers answered. Doesn't that matter whether or not life works out well? And I'm not talking about a passivity here, but I am saying this, that at the end of the day, really nothing else matters. Our egos don't matter anymore in the presence of God. It doesn't matter whether we get all the accolades that we think we have coming to us. Doesn't matter whether or not we are thanked properly. All of the pettiness of life, all of the gossip of life, all that is washed away because nothing else matters except God and His glory. Second, you can see that it is clear the fact that the presence of sin and the presence of God are incompatible. The presence of sin and the presence of God are incompatible. Whenever you desire that the presence of God be manifest, be evident, whenever that happens, you always know that God begins by cleaning up His people. And God asks us to come, as it were, to the altar. That is to say, I'm using Old Testament terminology, to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And after we've done that, to go to the laver, the basin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to put sin away so that God's presence can be very, very evident among His people. God loves to dwell with His people. He wants to talk to them. He wants our companionship. And we should desire His as well. Now, my friend, today, just think for a moment about the tabernacle that was built in the Old Testament, with all of the instruments, with all of its complicated arrangements, at least from our point of view. What was God doing? Why this setup? The reason is because God provided a way by which man could connect with Him without God in any way diminishing His glory or without God being contaminated. See, that's the whole issue in the Bible. The question is, how does a sinful man come to God without contaminating God and yet at the same time connecting with Him? So what God said is, this is a symbolic way of the way in which I take sin away. And in the Old Testament, it was genuinely taken away, even though it was only paid for when Jesus Christ died on the cross. So that you can connect with me, so that we can walk together, and you can experience my dwelling, my glory, my presence. I hope that you walk in that strength today. In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Thank you in advance for your prayers, for your gifts, because together we are making a difference. And these messages about the glory of God and that nothing else matters, I hope that they are scattered far and wide so that we'll get our priorities straight. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our worship. The first in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, join us for the conclusion. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.